You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, if you missed our first hour of programming, not to worry. As soon as this show wraps at 6 p.m., you can find this show and all of my previous shows at civicmedia.us/shows or anywhere you get your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. That was a great discussion because we were talking about this big question, especially in light of some of the extremist invective from the far right, including from our president and vice president, in the wake of Charlie Kirk's unacceptable assassination last week. We've been talking about, as the rhetoric and some of the policies from the right and from the MAGA movement seem to be heating up, how does a Democratic candidate for a statewide office, you know, like the Wisconsin governor, address what's happening in Washington, D.C., and some of this national political discourse and divisiveness, while back here at home in Wisconsin, appeal to Wisconsinites of all political backgrounds, right? Conservatives and liberals, far left progressives, and maybe some folks that voted for Donald Trump in the good faith belief that he would make their economic situation better, who may be a little disillusioned by now. How do we build a big tent to win in 2026, especially here in a state like Wisconsin? Well, I've got one of those candidates with me for the next half hour. I've been very much looking forward to talking with him. I will say to this next guest, his candidacy for governor, I didn't see that one coming. For a million miles away, nobody loves a political surprise more than me. So with all of that as preview, let me be very pleased and humbled to bring to the show Mr. Ryan Stiernad. He is candidate for Wisconsin governor, going to be in the Democratic primary. Welcome to the show, Mr. Stiernad. It's so nice to have you.
Thank you for having me, Maggie.
Okay, so tell us, what in God's name made you decide, like, oh, now is the time I think I should run for governor? You've been a successful beer vendor at what was Miller Park, going back to the county stadium days, what now is our beloved AmFam Field. What made you say, oh, you know, chuck that, I'm going to go run for governor?
Well, currently, I started a political action committee for the beer vendors called Drinks in the Seats. Right around the start of the 2017 season, it was springing off the heels of me being a union steward for the beer vendors at the time, and I thought I'd take things a step further by starting the political action committee to fight some upcoming plans the brewers had to expand the concession stands. Now, that sort of got off the ground more with the media than at the legislative level. I had minimal success doing anything with Drinks in the Seats. We can talk about that later. But it's actually been talked about publicly from 2017 on. People were thinking, well, this person, Ryan Stiernad, might be thinking of a political office someday. And I had run for political office one time before. That was in 2000. It was when I was a Republican at that. But looking forward, going back to 2017, I was thinking, well, maybe I can run for something. It would be as a Democrat for the first time since I joined the Democratic Party in 2001. But I live out here in Western Maguanago, and we have a lot of Republicans in here. I do think it's a matter of time, however, where Waukesha County Executive would get more of a moderate or a lefty candidate sometime whenever Paul Farrell gets out of there. However, here's where it kind of hit me, and it's kind of a classic story. I remember back in 2018 when Tony Evers knocked Scott Walker out of there. And I was very happy about that. But it was starting to think that I was sitting at an overnight job, which I'm no longer at. I'm in a different overnight job. But besides that, I was working in a foundry at the time. And I was cleaning some metal in between our going to a foundry and making our pours. And it was I almost fell and hit my head. I did not. But the idea of me running for governor when Tony Evers retires could be not too far of a reach. And I even started to estimate when Tony Evers would probably stick around to. I was thinking 8 years. I knew he'd be 75 at that.
What was it about that fall that made you think you wanted to run for governor?
I really thought at first I was, how it popped into my head, I was thinking like, wow, that's a big one. But then I really started to do the math and thinking. And because I've gotten some media attention with drinks in the seats already. And that was before the coronavirus pandemic. We'll get to that later, perhaps. But I was thinking, okay, governor, yeah. And I said this, you know, well, McGuanago, where I live, that's in a highly red district. Wisconsin is a swing district, or in this case, a swing state. And I was thinking, you know, hey, maybe I should go for it. And another thing, too, and this is important. If I were to be on the state assembly or state senate, I would have a hard time trying to fight my cohorts trying to get some things done in the legislature, because I have to convince a lot of people to get what I want passed. I kind of thought, well, how about an executive position like governor? And I think that would be better for me if I want to get something done for the state of Wisconsin, which I've lived here for 50 years and cared dearly about, that might be the route to go.
That is a remarkable story as to how you came to run for governor in this cycle. When you announced, you talked specifically about your support for organized labor and your opposition to Act 10, as well as right to work. Tell me a little bit about that. I understand you sort of had your own political epiphany tied to your becoming an organized worker some 25 years ago in and around 2000. Tell us a little bit about that and why you are so supportive of organized labor.
Yes, we'll go back to 2000. That was the only other time I ran for political office. And I ran against an incumbent, Jeff Plaley, who had since passed away recently. And I was living in Oak Creek at the time. That was the 21st State Assembly District, had almost all of South Milwaukee, all of Oak Creek, and a few of the Milwaukee, City of Milwaukee, South Side wards. And as I was going around, you know, going through the framework of running for state legislature political office, I got to meet with some unions as they were interviewing me for possible endorsements. Now, they chose not to endorse me for one reason or the other. You know, they probably were looking like I was maybe, you know, kind of a token candidate. And I do recall going back there trying to knock off Jeff Plaley, an incumbent, someone back then. A lot of people were telling me there was really no chance a Republican would even win that that South Side district. So no one really gave me a chance back then. Although a side note to that, 3 years later in 2003, Mark Connell won that as Republican, but things have changed. I don't want to get into that big story. But like I said, I was getting encouraged more and more from union people. You know, maybe I should switch sides after the election and become a Democrat. And they also liked the fact that I was all right on my third season of vending beer in the union, then known as Unite Here, with the union at the represents the beer vendors at Brewer Stadium, incidentally last year of County Stadium. And so after I lost the election, Christmas came and all that, 2001 came, and I made a decision that, okay, I'll go join the Democratic Party. And I joined the Democratic Party in March of 2001 because I really, and I was welcomed by a lot of established Democrats there, such as the late Senator Rick Grobschmidt and then Senator, prominent Senator Brian Burke.
Well, that is incredible. Did you want to finish, Ryan, just your thought about why you are today opposed to both Act 10 as well as the right to work legislation that was passed just a few years ago?
I thought when we went to right to work 9 years ago, 10 years ago.
Yes.
It was 10 years ago, 10 years ago. I was actually embarrassed as a Wisconsin resident that we had to go that way. Wisconsin has always been regarded as a union state. It really has. And then that happened. It happened under the administration of Scott Walker and the Republicans. Act 10, I thought, was just, even though I was not a teacher, I thought it was just a slap in the face to teachers. I was very, very disappointed with then Governor Scott Walker, who goes ahead right away. He'd even mentioned about it in the campaign. He did not have the guts to mention it in the campaign. And he surprises that on everyone. It was kind of a mild week in February of 2011 back then. and he goes and does it. And I was just upset.
I get it. I think like you, Mr. Sternad, so many people were caught off guard because as far as I recall, most of the indications during that campaign from Mr. Walker were that he wasn't going to broach that topic. So it did seem like a complete political sandbag. I want to ask you again a little bit more about some of your platform policies. We're going to share Mr. Sternad's website for his campaign in our show notes today. Ryan, why don't you tell folks what that is so they can find it themselves?
I can be reached at ryansternadforgovernor.com.
There you've got it. And that is, again, spelled R-Y-A-N-S-T-R-N-A-D for governor.com. You wanted to talk about COVID restrictions, and I wanted to give you the opportunity to address this and your position on those. Go ahead, sir.
That was a very hard time, but I took a very rare stance for a Democrat back then. I looked at COVID restrictions as employees being deprived of income opportunities. Yes, I was going against the operations of Governor Evers. I was going against the operations and initiatives of the unions. The unions appeared to be more concerned about health and safety measures. I looked at it like this. I was a vendor. I still am a vendor at the stadium. It was the start of March. We were all the vendors there were looking forward for opening day that year. We even had a couple of our season orientation meetings at the stadium. Everyone at the stadium was looking forward for opening day. And it was at the end of February where coronavirus was starting to go around the world. We had no thought of it. We had no thought about there'd be cancellations. Then all of a sudden, it was really March 11th where everything just hit and we're all running wild. We're canceling everything. Our fate was sealed from working a single game at that baseball season, the 2020 baseball season, before the end of March. And I looked at it like this. I stick up for people's jobs. I stick up for people who want to make money. I upset a lot of fellow Democrats with the stand I took. But losing money is losing money. And I just wish that the officials should have gotten second opinions from Dr. Fauci back then and shouldn't have been that quick to jump into decisions as far as having crowd size limits. When then Health Secretary Designee Andrea Palm uttered the statement, we're limiting crowd sizes of 250 people. I was like, well, there goes opening day.
Hang on, folks. We're going to come back with Mr. Ryan Sternad. He is candidate for Wisconsin governor. He's going to be in the Democratic primary. We're going to continue our discussion about COVID response. We'll get to his support for the boys and ladies in blue, our police. We'll talk abortion and maybe even the environment. So don't go anywhere. All that and more coming up next with one of your Democratic primary candidates for governor right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody, and welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Super excited this half hour to be joined by Democratic primary candidate for Wisconsin governor in 2026, Ryan Sternad. He's been telling us a bit about his view on the COVID-19 lockdowns back from, oh my goodness, now so many years ago, it seems like a blur, 2020, just 5 years ago, hard to believe. And so, Ryan, I understand and certainly agree with the concern over people losing their livelihood, right? Like, those are the two values that we're concerned about, both public health and people's ability to earn a living. At what point, if COVID wasn't the sort of global pandemic that in your administration you would be comfortable shutting down public offices or issuing stay-at-home orders for, is there any type of public health emergency that you think would rise to the level requiring that sort of government intervention. Is there something like that, or is it simply not something that you would ever consider?
I would have to look at the seriousness of the situation. Yes, I mean, like what happened back in Milwaukee last month. We had floods, you know, and a lot of the elected officials did a very good job and were successful on getting President Donald Trump to finally give us some of the federal assistance funding on that. So I will look at everything as a case-by-case basis. But to go ahead and to just say, we're not going to have this and we're not going to have that, I would really have to put a lot more care into it before I were to make such a big, drastic, and responsible decision. It was my opinion that I think some of the elected officials jumped to conclusion when the coronavirus came.
And I guess my question, and I want to focus in on this because I think the question of what is public health and how do we best protect it and how do we expect our elected officials to make decisions? If the COVID-19 global pandemic was not a sufficient case to engage in any even short-term government or other shutdowns, whom would you talk to or what data or information would you seek that wasn't available to President Trump and Governor Evers at the time that this occurred in 2000. Specifically, what I'm asking you is this. It was basically at that early March time in 2020, it was the consensus that elected officials were hearing from the credentialed medical immunology and epidemiology specialists that they thought this was an airborne transmissal, that it lived on surfaces, and that it could kill people, and we had yet to have a vaccine developed for it. That was the state of information in March of 2020. I understand you to be saying you still wouldn't shut down businesses or any government functions. And my question to you is, if it's not the experts within our university systems and the epidemiologists and the global health experts that study this, whom exactly would you be talking to or asking about whether or not to engage in that sort of a government intervention, i.e. shutdowns?
Okay, two things here. One, you said about a minute ago about how they thought it was. I would have done a lot more than just talk to one doctor. Okay.
I guess what I'm saying is that's not what happened, sir. What happened was consultation with hundreds, if not thousands, of global medical professionals. And the consensus was at that time to shut these functions down, that they weren't sure how fast this would transmit and how many would die as a result. And so I'm asking you, whom did you base that conclusion on then or now that that was inappropriate based on the information that was being provided to the president and the governor at that time? Whom differently would you suggest that you would talk to? How many experts is sufficient?
I actually think the media was covering some things up on that whole coronavirus.
Okay.
What I've been hearing about, about all these experts. I mean, really. I mean, to me, when I was sitting at home, and I'll even speak for my parents, they're just two other people. They're retired, they're going out west now. It seemed like Dr. Fauci was practically running the country for 2 or 3 years when the coronavirus has hit. I mean, it made me sick when I had to pray that Dr. Fauci would think before he would say things, because I really thought that a lot of these governors we've had, including Tony Evers, just took whatever Dr. Fauci would go ahead and say. And I was just like, and then there was some other talk about this, and I do not want to sound like a Republican, that there could have been some financial incentives involved with Dr. Fauci.
None of that was ever proven. That was largely just a conspiracy theory. My question to you is, whom do you think Dr. Fauci was speaking with? Do you think that was just his opinion, or do you think he was speaking with every available professional in the field at that time?
You're going to have an opinion. I mean, it all comes down to whatever comes out of Dr. Fauci's mouth. I mean, I'm sorry, but there should have been more people. You're suggesting there were more people involved. I will not dispute that. But it just, like I said, Dr. Fauci, there should have been more people involved. There should have been more people getting second opinions other than what Dr. Fauci had to say. what they were trying to do in China, and we never tried this in America. I put this on my personal Facebook page. They were starting to build new hospitals from scratch and trying to start that way. I'm sure they had some real strict lockdowns, more than America ever had. But we've never tried that thought about trying to build more hospitals similar to like a military unit out in the field. So, like I said,
Milwaukee County actually did build an emergency hospital on the state fairgrounds during the COVID-19 pandemic. Thank you so much. That was Mr. Ryan Stiernad, candidate for Wisconsin governor in 2026. He'll be on the Democratic primary ticket. Thank you for spending your time with us, Ryan. Folks, stick with us. I'll be right back. We'll talk a little Brewers, the 2-0 Packers, and a few things political on the other side. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, you can take this program and all of our talk lineup with you everywhere you go by downloading the Civic Media app. You can get it for free wherever you get your favorite apps from. And you can call and text us using the app as well. Just one touch, which is pretty gosh darn convenient. And you will need it, especially because this Friday is our very last Free Ticket Friday Brewers ticket giveaway of the summer. I am so sad to see baseball coming to an end. You need the app to play. And again, our very last Free Ticket Friday is coming up on this Friday. Tune in and listen to the entire Civic Media lineup throughout the day for the keyword to win in that hour. That word you text in via the app, it will get you entered to win 4 club-level tickets to a Brewers game. As they continue to be the best team in baseball, we here at Civic Media want to give each and every one of you a chance to see them at AmFam Field free and on Civic Media's dime. Like these listeners, Chris from Sun Prairie has taken down a set of tickets. Kimberly from Wauwatosa, Terry in Cross Plains, Jim in Brookfield, Penny in Plainfield, Kevin in Madison, and Doc in Milwaukee. Congratulations to all of those winners. The next winner could be you, so download that Civic Media app. Get it ready to go this Friday. Again, you'll have 5 chances to enter to win those 4 Brewers club level tickets by listening to Civic Media all day Friday. I am super excited myself. Excited for the end of the season. Sad to see it finally here. All of our contesting rules, of course, can be found at civicmedia.us. We got one of my favorite callers in the wait list. Before I get to him, CJ, hang on. I'll put you on the air in just a second. Wanted to finish out the conversation with the candidate, Ryan Stiernad, the candidate for governor. We didn't have time to keep him around, but I just wanted to share a little bit more of his positions. He is pro-choice. He said, as he announced his candidacy, quote, any pregnant mother-to-be or mother who wants an abortion can have an abortion, end quote. On the environment, he said this, we do enough to support the environment anyways and opposes shutting down oil and gas pipelines because that is costing people's jobs. He lifted up a recycling bin and said, go to a store, get yourself one of these. Just buy yourself one of these. $15 at your local hardware store. Start recycling. Boom! You're helping the environment right there. Again, thank you, Mr. Stiernad, for coming on the show to talk about this stuff with us. We really appreciate your time. We have got one of my favorite callers on the line. CJ, how are you doing, my friend? What do you got for us?
Thank you for taking my call, Maggie. I had a little temper tantrum the last time we talked, and I want to follow on Charlie Kirk's example. I'm going to have a dialogue with people that I disagree with. I saw him over a year ago exactly a year, at the University of Wisconsin campus. Mm-hmm. And there was probably 1,500 to 2,000 people there. And the patience that man has, as people call him names or whatever, I'm kind of used to that myself. But, you know, I think it's absolutely no one side owns. I got a chance to talk to Tom Hartman today. And pretty much what I said was no party owns the assassination or political violence. But this a man who was gunned down defending the First Amendment. And one thing, he was a Christian man, which I consider myself a Christian, went to church this weekend, and you would not believe the numbers at those services. And most of them were young kids looking for positive influence and messages. And I had a chance to say that to Tom Hartman, and not to mention, on the Sunday morning, I watch them all, CNN, MSNBC. I watch every news program I can. There was one of his border, or on the Turning Point USA board, said they've had 37,250 inquiries for new chapters. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Pro-American, pro-Christian values, family values, and to watch this in real time and have people cheer it on, I don't care what your ideology is. I think you know where I stand on that, and I've heard you talk about it. It shouldn't happen. You're in the public eye. We've met. I really enjoy our conversations. You're a beautiful lady. You're smart. You're funny. And I appreciate you giving me the time to honor him, because people that don't know him, in a little snippet that says he doesn't believe empathy, need to do more research, because they only take a little snippet of that quote. And I challenge you to read that entire quote where he compares empathy to sympathy. So I'm begging you to present both sides on this, because it's shameful. Whether it was the congresswoman that was shot through the door with her husband, disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. So again, we're lucky to be Americans. The First Amendment allows you to say whatever you want to say, and me also. We may not see eye to eye. I think we see eye to eye on more things than sometimes we show in a 30-second to 1 minute discussion. But thank you so much, because I said I wasn't going to call you anymore. And then I started to listen to Charlie Kirk, and I watched him. I saw him. I got to ask him a question at the university. They were all out of hats.
CJ, we got to leave it there. Gave you as much time as I could. I agreed with CJ's statement that as Americans, we have a speech right. We have a speech right. But let's not mistake a speech right for acceptance or tolerance. Excuse me, I shouldn't say tolerance, for acceptance of the messages. My defense of Charlie Kirk's right to say vile, hateful things is never going to be dependent on what someone's saying. He has the right to say those things. Again, he's claimed that black women's brains don't process as fast. Women are property to their husbands. MLK wasn't a nice guy. The Civil Rights Act was a mistake. That gay pride is a sin. That having gun rights means accepting a certain amount of gun. I mean, he said all these things. He was repeatedly accused of anti-Semitism by the Anti-Defamation League. I'm just going to read this again. This is a quote from Robert Jones Jr. We can disagree and still love each other unless your disagreement is rooted in my oppression and denial of my humanity and right to exist. We can disagree and still love each other unless your disagreement is rooted in my oppression and denial of my humanity and right to exist. Unless you want me to be treated differently under the laws. unless you choose to strip rights away from me because of my beliefs or who I am. So Charlie Kirk should never have been assassinated. He should be able to say whatever vile, hateful things he wants to say. Ollie from the Northwoods, go ahead. You're on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Hi, I just listened to the gentleman caller, and I can't count how many times he said everyone has the right for freedom of speech, yet the Republicans are going out and saying that if you spoke out, you should be fired. People are being fired for their freedom of speech about saying, merely saying
about Mr. Kirk.
Correct. Yes. Or saying something about him being shot. I don't think that was right. But I also don't think that one-sided freedom of speech is right either.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no way to make this square, right? If the response to an assassination is to call for more violence and a civil war and declare that an entire tens and potentially over 100 million people that are citizens of this country are evil and vile, and then to suppress speech on the grave of a man who, at least ostensibly, in its kindest view, stood for free speech. I mean, the first thing I said when I got on the air the day that he was shot and killed, I said he was standing up there debating people who disagreed with him. And again, I think I said on that day, he said some vile and disgusting things. But he stood up there and had the freaking argument. By the way, one of the things that Charlie Kirk said at one point in time was that 12-year-olds should watch the public execution of Trump's governmental opponents, and some of those killings should be by guillotine. Just saying. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Gary from Sussex, hello, friend. How are you? What you got for us?
Well, I'm following one of your favorite guys. recently. So I hope you're in a good mood and you're not going to start tearing my head off, okay? The thing is, I've been listening a lot. I don't call as much as anymore, but the people, what they're saying is that Charlie Kirk says a lot of hate, okay? Now, maybe he does in different people's opinion, and the thing is that there's a lot of stuff that is absolutely not true. Like, one guy called up on the Todd Alva show and said that he's against women voting, which is nuts. I mean, that's not
true. He once made a statement that said that basically women should be the property of their husbands. If you're property, you don't get to vote. And yes, Charlie Kirk has said things that were broadly supportive of the abolition of the 19th Amendment. Here's the problem, Gary. Both universes of people live in their own bubbles. And the question is, which bubble is closer to the actual facts on the ground? And my respectful argument to you is, if you hear someone saying that Charlie Kirk said something like that, and you're like, hey, that can't possibly be true because that was offensive, take the 5-10 minutes on the internet and go check it out, because there's tape of him saying all this stuff.
If he
actually said that, Gary, would you think he's not some guy that you should be listening to?
Charlie Kirk, is, as far as I'm concerned, is a Christian man. And Christian, God tells us that we are to love the Jewish people. I love the Jewish people. I do not believe.
But if I played you tape of Charlie Kirk saying all kinds of anti-Semitic things, Would that change your opinion of whether or not he is actually a man of God and a Christian, and whether you should listen to him? Would it change your mind? Hang on, Gary. We're going to continue this discussion. We got to take a quick breath here. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. Don't go anywhere and give us a call, 855-752-4842. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Go back, everybody. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is our last segment of the day. Get in your thoughts and comments, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I was having a civic discourse with my friend Gary from Sussex. We were talking about Charlie Kirk. And Gary, my question to you was, do you ever go and check what people say Charlie Kirk said? Have you ever looked at, for example, some of the accounts of the professors that he targeted on his professor watch list and the death threats and hate mails and job losses and racist, awful messages that have tracked them from place of business to place of business and from home to home? Have you checked that stuff out?
Well, first of all, I'm 73 years old.
Okay.
And I don't follow Charlie Kirk that much. Maybe in the last 5 years I have. Previous to that, no. Ben Shapiro and him would go to all these colleges all the time. And I, you know, didn't really follow it at all. I knew a lot about him. I learned tons about him after he's been killed. And one of the things that I truly believe is people can say things 2 or 3 years ago, 6 months ago, and they do have a right to change their mind in what they say. They do make mistakes and apologize.
Yeah, but Charlie Kirk never did that. He never disavowed any of this stuff that I'm quoting to you. He was saying this up until the day I died. And by the way, Gary, I said to friends of mine this weekend, the thing that I think is the worst about this is not just that political violence is the norm. It's the fact that Charlie Kirk was deprived the opportunity to change his mind, to open his heart, to ask forgiveness for the group from the groups of people that he has advocated active oppression of, including women and people of color and the gay community as a whole. I am saddened that he will never have the opportunity to seek forgiveness for that oppressive speech from the God he claimed to love. I mourn that opportunity for him. Assassination takes away from all of us the right to seek forgiveness and to change our minds. That is a true tragedy that Charlie can never change his mind because he never disavowed any of that stuff, Gary.
Well, I understand that in some people's opinion, and I do believe that some of the stuff that he did say was maybe hateful, but it's the way, first of all, I'm a Christian and I know what the Bible says about gay marriage and homosexuality. So if somebody would ask me, what do you think about it? I'd say, well, it's wrong. Now, is that hate speech, Maggie? I wouldn't sit there and drill about it and say, oh, you're going to
if
hell.
We're talking about your religious beliefs, say, but if those religious beliefs translated into different treatment of persons that worked for you on the job, I would say that that's not a good thing. I think people repeating their religious beliefs as if that has to be the belief for everybody else and the justification for different treatment of persons under the law, that that's an active harm and actually something that Jesus would probably have a problem with. That we shouldn't
know.
Be defining rights based upon one group's religious beliefs.
Well, okay, but this is his opinion. He said before...
It's his opinion that he's advocating for government policy. He was one of the president's closest advisors. These weren't hypotheticals. These are realities. We see these things happening today. Donald Trump and J.D. Vance name-checking nonprofit organizations that don't politically align with Donald Trump's movement.
Well, Maggie, the thing is, what I look at on this assassination is, and I'm sure you heard this from a lot of people, conservative MAGA people, that they assassinate my future and your future president. He would have been president 2032 or 2036. I really believe it. And to be present.
Well, your belief doesn't make that fact. And
no,
whether or not that would have come to pass is a complete hypothetical. Bobby Kennedy was murdered, assassinated. So was MLK, Medgar Evers, Malcolm X. You want to stack up the amount of liberal Democrats that have been assassinated. Like the lists aren't comparable, but the point is we shouldn't be comparing lists in the first place. We shouldn't be comparing degree of hate speech that is acceptable. We should be able to condemn both the assassination and the hate speech that Charlie Kirk profited off of for decades. Can't we do both things? I will defend his right to say all of that stuff. and to be provocative and to go onto a campus and have those debates. I will condemn the assassin, who, by the way, was not a Democrat. He was like a 4chan, 8chan trolling griper nihilist who's about as far right wing as you can possibly get. But I'm not going to act like Charlie Kirk wasn't someone who trafficked in bigotry.
He was a nutcase. He had mental problems. And we all agree. I don't blame the Democrats for what he did. I blame him. He's a nutcase. And he's been kind of brainwashed by Antifa or whoever else he's hanging out with.
The Groypers are a far-right group. Antifa is a far-left group. The groups have completely different ideologies and nothing to do with one another.
Maggie, I like you and I respect you and I like listening to you. And I like how you handled CJ because you let him talk. Nobody else really does that. So I really respect you. I disagree with a lot of the things you say, but not everything you say. And you're a good person. And I believe that what you said in the beginning by saying it's sad and it's wrong that he was killed, I would never listen to you again if you'd have went out there if you'd have said thank God he's dead. I would never listen.
Never in a million days. He's deprived of the opportunity to change his mind and continue have a discussion. Gary, you'll always have a place on my caller list. Folks, if I didn't get to you, I'm sorry. It's all about these great discussions and real news here at Civic Media. Thanks for being with me. I'll be back tomorrow. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But remember, it is always better when we stand together peacefully.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.